President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this January the 29th, 2009, or if you're on the East Coast and the Central Time Zone, then you know it's already the 30th of January. Got a great show for you tonight. Great guest. I can tell you that I have been putting some of his principles to work, and these principles really do work. There is a way to empower your community on a local level, as well as, let's say, provide opportunities for business to take hold, things that are not traditional, but based upon traditional skills. I can tell you that there are some fantastic things happening, even in hopeless Indiana. And with that, I want to bring on board the creator of Hopeless Indiana. He is a wonderful person, a great attorney. He specializes in antitrust and constitutional law. He is a man who has over 100 websites, and they all work, and they're all able to be found using Google. My good friend and a frequent guest to Evident Footprints, Mr. Carl Pearson. Carl, good evening. How are you?
Hi, good evening, Don, and thank you very much. That was a great introduction, and I look forward to talking about a variety of things. There's so many troubling things going on that we can't possibly run out of topics.
Mm. Let's get a couple of the troubling things out of the way, if you want to do that. At least explain to us what's going on. What news can you share with us?
Well, what I see as the stimulus package is that it's only going to stimulate the rich to make them richer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see that there's anything significant with respect to the main thing that we need in America. There's two main things that we need. We need to take care of people that are homeowners who are overextended with these toxic mortgages from their own standpoint. And we have to provide an opportunity for people to be able to perform services or work and business and be able to provide for themselves, because our country over the past years since Nixon basically have been giving away the store. We've been giving it away and letting jobs go to other countries under some totally phony idea that the press has picked up, the main press, that by seeking the lowest cost in the world, we're going to benefit America because we're going to have cheaper toothpaste here. But they forgot to say that it means that we don't have any jobs here. So all it did was make the merchants of America rich, and it impoverished the rest of us. But what we need to do with the stimulus package is to really create opportunity for people, and I don't see it happening. I don't see any money being devoted to that. I see a laundry list of things that will be spent, projects for which money will be spent, and the rich that will get that money will get even richer. But it's not going to create the millions or tens of millions of jobs that we need in America. You know, I calculated how much money it would take using my system of a task marketplace. And that is that I've calculated for Hopeless Indiana that if we spend $100 per person in Hopeless that needs work, there are approximately 3,000 people, and that would be $30,000. In a country of 300 million, if 100 million people could use additional hours of employment. That's only a cost of $10 billion. And we could put everyone to work doing, we wouldn't have unemployment at a cost of $10 billion. And I've been frantically trying to get my message across to the people, the politicians and the main media, and nobody jumps at it. I can't understand it. It's such an obvious thing. Why do we spend $1 trillion when $10 billion will do? Mm-hmm. $1 trillion that won't do the job when $10 billion would.
That's a very good point. You know, last week, and I missed the show. It was live on C-SPAN, but I got to hear the tape played by Rick Adams, and Rick was on my show this past week, and we talked about this a little bit. There was a lady who called in to a man who was spinning this $700 million bailout story, telling people how we have to give this money, the $700 billion, to the banks, or the banks are going to go under. Well, I've been talking about this to my radio audience for the past 2 years. I've been writing about it. There are other people who are writing about this. In fact, Walter Burian, who I featured on this past Monday night show, has uncovered the consolidated annual, or I should say the comprehensive annual financial report, or CAFR, as he calls it. And he has devoted himself to revealing all of how these funds are being misused and brought into new programs, or the recycled versions of the old programs, where they're taking the money from HUD and they're putting them into these programs. You and I have talked at great length about the derivatives and the hedge funds. He mentions those same things. And he's also got some really interesting ideas along the lines of yours. For instance, you could vest people into a tax system for 8 years. After 8 years, they become vested. They no longer have to pay into the tax. In a short time, all the funds for supporting society would be there, and you wouldn't need to tax it. He points out very clearly that the government already has been doing this for 65 years for themselves. So the disparities you're talking about, Carl, are definitely there, and I agree with you that the rich are going to get richer, and the poor are going to get poorer. Now, they sell it to us one way, but in reality, that's not what they mean to tell us. And we're taking the bull by the horns, and we're going to do something with that, are we not?
Absolutely, and it's really up to the local community. Any local community can dissociate itself from the worst of what's happening, and they can create a prosperous community, and there's really no cost. There's no significant cost. For example, do you think that Hopeless Indiana, in trying to attract business for its businesses in the area, wouldn't you believe that it would spend at least $30,000 a year to attract customers for the merchants in Hopeless? Don't they have?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every city and town and state has programs like that. Well, why don't they try to spend that kind of money for the residents? We're going into an era where we're going to be small business people, and we know from history, we know from everyone's point of view that it's small business that generates the jobs. It's not the big businesses. It shouldn't be government, but it is, unfortunately, that generates too many jobs from a government standpoint. But it's small business that creates the employment, and we ought to be just doing it directly and fostering it, but we're not. We're doing it indirectly
mm-hmm.
by spending huge amounts of money with the people who are already rich, who have already stolen our country, and we're now giving it to them even more. I can't believe that this is happening.
Yes. You know my disgust with it. I've been following it, and I'm seeing other people now are clearly seeing what's going on. They're still spinning this story that it's the fault of these mortgage holders that have not been able to make their annual mortgage payments or their monthly mortgage payments and keep them up to schedule when in reality, what's happening is the terms are running out on some of the investments on which they've used these mortgages as collateral, unbeknownst to the people living in the homes or in the businesses where they have financed this through a mortgage lender. What is the purpose for the bailout? You and I well know that they're bailing themselves out of a big jam they got in from the duality of the duplicitous nature of these investments, where they use the contract multiple times to produce other sorts of income, offshore, unreported, a little clique of their own people, and not benefiting the community whatsoever. People don't even know that any of this exists, do they?
No, let me throw out an idea that we've seen from President Obama today. It's been mm-hmm. throughout the news most of the day in the evening. And that is, he's railing against the $20 billion in bonuses that the banks have handed out to the salesmen and the officials. And I agree that it's outrageous. But if we're going to bail out the banks, why don't we just do something as simple as require the banks to ease up on the late fees and just make the late fees something that is non-usurious? Make the late fees something like $3 or something like that instead of $39. Why don't we give something to the public in exchange? Why should we finance these usurers that are stealing money from the people?
Mm-hmm.
Why not require them to give back something? Forget the $20 billion in bonuses, because they're stealing $1 trillion or $500 billion a year by late fees, these excessive late fees. We ought to put limitations on the banks and require them to be more honorable and more reasonable in their interest rates, because interest is killing us. They kill us with interest. They steal our property and our livelihood by these huge interest rates, and we ought to do something about that. That's the way that we ought to penalize the banks. It didn't work when they stole our money like that. Now they want more money. We ought to force them into being more reasonable as a condition for taking the public's money.
Now, they were able to cover up to an extent. They were able to cover up the amount of corruption that went on during the Bush administration. But really, it goes back to the Clintons and Bush 41 as well. This money laundering activity, well, it's probably been going on forever, way before they brought out the RICO laws, and they apply here very, very easily. But just with the last administration, this sort of turning and looking the other way as if none of this ever happened. There were reports that they tried to bribe Obama. I mean, if he's turned down a bribe, that would be news. That should make news. Now, they're not talking about that. One wonders if that attempt was made and if it was turned down. We're not hearing anything from the mainstream along those lines. But there are several of the alternative media who have been reporting about that a little bit. Now, is that really significant? Well, it tells you what the mindset of the prior administration was. That they didn't care about the people, that they were not putting these policies in place. And, you know, the word was that when Obama was bribed by, or attempted to be bribed, let's say, by the Bush cabal, that he was shocked about what he was learning about the state of the financial condition. Yet, I think they're all involved in this. This is not something that's just privy to a couple of people who are compartmentalized behind some Secret Service agents. This is a problem in Chicago. This is a problem in New York. This is a problem in Los Angeles, big time all over California. It's You're right. You know, why don't they give something to the people? I was referring to this C-SPAN show at the top of this interview, and what I heard a lady say was, why don't they give every person in the United States $1.5 million and let us decide how we're going to invest that money? After all, they've been taking all this money from us for years and years and years. And she said, certainly the American people can figure out how best to spend that money, how to invest it. And the man said, and I don't recall his name, but he was obviously a pundit that they put there to spin this whole thing for the reason for the bailout. And he said, do you know how much money that is? And I thought to myself, yeah, it's a lot less than the $667 trillion you've stolen.
Yeah.
And it's a lot less than the $2.2 quadrillion that the Federal Reserve is upside down. What's the point? The point is, that's still a solution. And that was one of the most valid. Now, I'm not saying that there's any honor, Carl, in us, you know, taking a handout, because to me, that's another form of welfare at the same time. But why not make it possible for us to apply for that money? One of these you don't have to pay it back kind of grants that they brag about on TV,
mm-hmm.
or you know, they say the government has hundreds of billions of dollars that they give away, but who's getting that money? You know, is it something that can be applied to create jobs? Really,
they've given most of it so far has gone to the banks, and they haven't even lent it out.
It's gone to the
money
bank,
sitting
yeah.
there in the banks. It's saving the banks. And doing so, I mean, imagine if the government gave you or me $10 million and said, here, we want to help your business. I mean, they've given close to $1 trillion or $500 billion to the banks.
Mm-hmm.
For what? The banks are the ones that caused all this. Why should we be giving more? But anyway, you mentioned Chicago. There's an interesting development. As I see it playing out, here's what's going to happen. The ex-governor of Illinois is... If he isn't indicted already, he probably will be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll be tried and convicted. And what happens when people are in that position? They rat on others
yeah.
in order to get a reduced sentence. So we're going to find out a lot of the shady things going on in Illinois and elsewhere
mm-hmm.
as a way for him to reduce his probable sentence that's coming up.
Well, and these are things I've been recording on my show. I've been talking about these things on many, many shows, not just on my show here on BBS Radio, but I've also been talking about it on RBN, GCN, Oracle Broadcasting Network. I've been on quite a few different shows, and these people know, the people that listen to those networks know these topics inside and out. They've heard them. They know about what's going on in the courts. You know, when they tell Patrick Fitzgerald, go after anybody you want, but leave CPS alone,
yeah.
what does that tell you? That they've got a racket there, right?
Yeah.
And that's the story supported by all the testimony of the litigants who have been criminally impoverished by the system, because they can take that money and they can launder it, they can put it into the real estate market. They can buy up the businesses, and you just use the example of crushing the little man. It's what they're doing, and it's allowed. It's insane. But I would suspect that the level of bribery that permits that to keep occurring is just beyond belief. Now, not that I want to turn this into a show about bribery. We want to look at, okay, it's a corrupt system. What can we do, or what are we going to do to empower the people? You've set up a number of websites. We've talked about this on past shows, but it bears repeating that people avail themselves. You have the myclads.com website, which is designed to empower a community on a big level by empowering the individuals. Do you want to describe that a little bit to the listening audience?
Sure. The I've seen that there's a decline in overall employment in the country. Now, some people say, well, we really have many more jobs because Walmart doesn't have people working 40 hours a week. They work them 28. So we have almost twice as many jobs as a result of that kind of employment of sales personnel and stockers and other things like that. But that's just $8.50 per hour jobs at very low level. The quality of the jobs in America is absolutely declining, and the net result is that there's no hope, realistically, that Walmart, which is increasing market share, even in bad times, increasing its profitability, increasing its sale, increasing its wealth, there's no likelihood that the decline caused by Walmart is going to be changed when Walmart is continuing doing the same thing. We're going to have a reduction in opportunity in America, and we need to do something about it. That is, jobs are not here for the taking. They no longer exist. A few people get jobs,
mm-hmm.
and to the extent I believe that we are providing money so that those that currently are working can continue working isn't necessarily the right thing to do. How about the people that don't have jobs? And the people who are underemployed, I think that we ought to concentrate on with them. And the way of doing it is not by looking upon employment as J-O-B, as a job. A job is where you drive to work and you get a paycheck every week, whether you show up or not, or whether you work or not. You have benefits and you have cafeterias where your lunch is 30 cents. And the people like myself go to lunch and we have to pay $8 or $9, not tax deductible, but when you work for a firm and they give you lunch for 30 cents, the firm writes it off. And the whole thing is such a scam, what's happening, and it's so costly to hire people with those scams that they do, that they have, that they're not hiring that way anymore. So what we need to do is to take the unused hours that we have available and offer to use those hours to perform tasks. We have to subdivide our work and not look for a job where you have Walmart coming over to us every day and saying, here, you stand here for 7 hours and that's your job. Instead, we have to create small businesses out of ourselves. We have to offer a variety of things that we think people want to buy and advertise them in a task marketplace. So
mm-hmm.
MyClads is where people can register 50 or 100 or 500 different things that they would like to do for money.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they want to give their services away, they're free to do that. This is not where I'm not concerned about how much they want to say that they're willing to perform a job for. Some people may want to give away services for nothing. But You have probably 500 million different tasks that could be performed if you break them down appropriately. A person that repairs a 1933 Chevrolet Model A
mm-hmm.
may be in a totally different class from a person who repairs a Studebaker 1939.
Mm-hmm.
So we have just so many different tasks. We have needs throughout the country to find people who can help us with highly specific things. And the good thing is that you can be paid, I estimate, about $30 an hour on the average, and for many types of tasks, I think a lot more than that. And this is where small business is going to be created out of the individuals who are unemployed. It isn't that we need to give people money to create employment for themselves. We only have to create a marketplace,
mm-hmm.
and employment will follow. We don't need to give everyone $1 million and say, here, go out and spend it, see what you can do. If we create a task marketplace, then everyone who wants to do something, can define what they want to do, put it in that marketplace, and you're going to find people who will need those services, because I would rather pay somebody to tutor my child in quantum mechanics, high school level,
mm-hmm.
than having me try to learn it and tutor my son, for example. So this is where the people that have better skills, they have skills that are that others could use, can sell those skills at a very high hourly rate and allow me to do the things that I do. I mean, my hourly rate is a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
As a lawyer, I charge a lot more than $30 an hour. So if there's a job that I could find someone to do for me for $30 an hour, I don't mind paying $30 or what the marketplace would bear, because the time that I have, I'm able to sell to others for multiples of $30.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way that we ought to be thinking about how we are to be employed in the future. We don't need jobs. They don't want us. We're not going to get jobs. We're wasting our time. We have to create small businesses out of ourselves, be independent contractors, and we can do one hell of a job, because this is where America is best in the creation of small business opportunities, and nothing is smaller and nothing is better than the individual.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of what you're describing, too, is the after effect of these programs where they're just throwing money at situations, expecting the situations to either heal themselves or to have the people shut up because they've got some money. And people come to expect that this money just arrives there. What you're describing is someone becoming resourceful within their means. People that really are interested in earning a living, being able to support their family, make their house payments, whatever it is.
Now, take in hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-way market, and I have to emphasize that the second aspect to the marketplace is mm-hmm. where you, me, and 100 million other Americans will put down the tasks that we would like to buy. It isn't all selling tasks. The other half of it is buying tasks. But if somebody doesn't know that I need a particular skill, I'd like to have a marketplace where I can announce my need. So that creates jobs just in the watching for opportunities that relate to a community. So you would have community website watchers or job managers who would assist people by pointing out, hey, there's some opportunities here that probably you could do. You see what
yeah.
I mean? That jobs are created in this. This is a new way. Instead of having employment agencies and counselors and things like that, we really need to have managers and others that facilitate the movement of skills and the servicing of people through this technology, just the website. And it's an amazing concept, and it's so efficient because there's no money that's built in here. There's no fees for registration. There's no fees for anything. It's done directly, and it's very efficient, and the individual performing the services gets 100% of the money paid through a credit card or PayPal. So I see it as a way of exploiting to the best degree possible what makes America great, and we're going to bounce back. And this will allow the community to really divorce itself from the evils that are going on and to create a better community and to patronize the local banks that care
mm-hmm.
and to patronize the banks and other financial institutions that don't rip you off.
Yes. Now, this system that you're describing, I'm speaking about the positive system now, not the banks, but
yeah.
but what you're describing as far as a solution to a problem that really has been a perpetual problem all over the world. I don't think it's anything just exclusive to Hopeless Indiana. It's everywhere. If one listens to what you're describing, Carl, and puts that in the context of the nightly news, even if they don't talk about it, you can ascertain why they're not talking about it.
Why aren't they? Why this is such an obvious solution. There's nothing more obvious than what I have described here and what I put down. Why is it that something as obvious as that doesn't immediately take hold and race through the country and pull us out of this?
Well, you know, the media is kind of interesting. They support large or big business. We know that, right? Because that's big bucks. Who are the big businesses? They're all the manufacturers and some of them are retail chains or, you know, wholesale or retail distributors. But look at how many of those companies are folding up just within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
$10,000 or jobs here, $30,000 here. I can remember, was it you on the show the last time you were on asking somebody at Circuit City, are they going to be around?
Yeah.
I think it was you who mentioned that. And look, we had 30,000 jobs fall by the wayside. I know another talk show host who actually had that conversation with a salesman in Circuit City. And I named the company because it's going to be defunct here real soon. They seem to delight in the fact that this country is being destroyed, and it's intentional that it's going on. Now, you bring up a good point, too, that the people deserve better than that. The people have trusted that the government was doing the right thing. In our stupor of waking up and seeing, you know, that that's not the case, you're also providing some valid solutions that somebody has to get off the rear end to implicate. You know, you've taken the responsibility of maintaining the site, making it available to people for free. They don't have to pay for it. They can certainly involve their whole community in this. Imagine that a community in the surrounding area that was bent on making something like this a success. Why? Because they need the revenues to support their town, because they have a little bit of pride left, and they're not ready to give in to a foreign country that might come over and take over the property. Maybe even by eminent domain, just because of who knows what agreements they've worked behind our backs. So this is certainly the media's refusal or their irresponsibility to address this has everything to do with the amount of money that they're making by keeping that information off the table. And someone mentioned to me very recently that even the FTC is responsible, that they're destroying the small businessman in favor of these large corporations. They're permitting this to go on. Look at the drug commercials. This really has my goat, too, the last few weeks. These drug commercials that they're showing late at night, they're personal commercials, if you can call them that. And these drugs are not, let's say, backed by the FDA. Now, that means the FDA has not approved these drugs, yet they're selling these drugs on TV every night. And the mainstream media is making money hand over fist from the number of commercials. Yet, the mom and pop in a local town that is running a supplement store, maybe they're selling vitamin C and maybe a few herbal teas, they have to scramble to put these people out of business for doing that little thing that's really not hurting that larger company. That's bent on selling a bunch of drugs and making people toxic and perpetually ill.
But let me explain what's happening with the major retailers, because this is one of my specialties.
Okay, all right.
The major retailers in America are buying goods at below cost. And what's happening is that let's pretend that there's only a single manufacturer of spark plugs, for example. The major retailers are buying those spark plugs at below cost. When you start adding up all the different fees and allowances and returns and new store openings, new store closings, expansion fees, when you take all of that into account, the manufacturer is actually getting less for the spark plug than it's costing the manufacturer to provide that spark plug to the retailer. So this has fueled the dramatic expansion of Walmart, Costco, AutoZone, and the others that sell automotive parts, Kmart, Target, and others. But when you have an expansion like that of the major retailers, what you have is a reduction of sales that are being made through those independent stores. They are going out of business. So increasingly, the manufacturer finds that a higher and higher percentage of his goods are being sold below cost, and that what once sounded like a good idea to get a foothold in a major store is now an albatross around the manufacturer's neck, because they can't keep selling below cost and lose their higher cost small businesses that they're throwing out of business. But this is what's happening. The small businesses that compete with the major retailers go out first. Then the wholesalers go out, the independent wholesalers. And then the manufacturers themselves go out of business because they compete with each other to try to sell to Walmart, and they keep selling at lower and lower prices, where it's a game of musical chairs where only one's going to be left. But do you think that Walmart would buy that one manufacturer? No, because it's a loser.
No.
They're losing money.
Yeah.
So Walmart will always find someone else to sell below cost. It's a futile game, and it's destroyed the country, and it's in violation of our antitrust laws.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Nixon, the FTC and the Justice Department stopped enforcing the Robinson-Patman Act that prohibits price discrimination. We need to bring that back in order to be able to have competition possible in the manufacturing and selling of goods. We need to have people that buy goods in competition with each other, buying them for the same per unit price, so that the small person can also survive. In a case of a tire, a client of mine was buying a tire from his franchisor, and he was paying $18 a tire. And one of these major retailers across the street was selling the same tire for $6. I mean,
you can't stay in business that way.
And the way they explained it was that there was a different salt that they put in the tire. The tire was the same green tire made in the same plant. It had a different name stamped on it. All the specifications were the same, and they explained to the judge that we put a different salt in one of the tires, and the judge said, "You tell that to the jury," meaning that's a real crock, and you can tell that to the jury if you want.
You have a website that deals with those types of cases too.
Yeah, I have a truly major website on the Robinson-Patman Act. It's been 15, 20 years in the making. I haven't done much with it recently. The field is just ending. That we're not enforcing the antitrust laws. It's putting small people out of business. And it also drives the manufacturer into looking for manufacturing in other countries where they can cut the costs until someone else puts them out of business. We have to start protecting jobs in America. You can't have America based upon buying goods that are manufactured at labor rates of a nickel an hour. But we have expenses in America of living that's higher than a nickel an hour. We've got to do things that don't allow the world to send their goods into America.
Yeah, and
it's not fair for us. We're losing America, but someone's gaining in the process.
There's also
the rich are gaining.
Yes. There's also a lot of dispute about the quality of the materials coming in. Now, this thing about lead paint and all that, that might be a ruse. It might be true. But they, one reason why they're pushing the lead paint is because it makes, if you have lead paint in your house, they can't bombard you with all the microwave and energy weapons that they want to hit us with. So they're trying to get us to get the lead paint out of our houses. It's been discussed at great length amongst those that know of the technologies that are there. But we have these painted foods coming in from all over the world, and one of the major distributors is Walmart, who you mentioned. They're not the only one, but it seems like these companies can acquire vast amounts of food from wherever and bring it into our country and literally not inspect it. I've looked at the films of these inspection processes, and the people, the officers that are part of the customs inspection enforcement team say, we don't have enough money to look at all this. Well, why is it always costs money? Why is it cost so much money to have something that costs so little to produce, which is being sold for so much on the other end, on our end, as far as consumers? Why does it cost so much to really stop that type of thing from happening? We have outbreaks of E. coli and or cholera or diarrhea or you name it, any disease that they can transport through molds and just dirty food, filthy food. Why is that allowed to occur, do you think?
Because you make a profit by not regulating it.
You make a profit.
You that is, the major retailer shops in a foreign country and they get bids.
Mm-hmm.
And the bids are submitted by people of varying quality. And some of them put in poison because it makes the food look better, or it's sort of part of the processing. And this is what's happening. There's no regulation there. There's no one's examining it. It costs money to examine. So
mm-hmm.
the manufacturer just says, fine, I'll go for the lowest price.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Pinto with the gas tank explosion? And Ford Motor Company had an equation that said that if the potential number of Pinto explosions by reason of the way the gas tank was manufactured is X, and that if we have to pay $10 million per explosion, it's cheaper for us to have the Pinto the way it is than if we had to go back and remanufacture it and call back the cars. It's purely money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is part of it. It's just money. I mean, you get a few people that make claims. You get $1 million fine by the government, and the manufacturer that imports that food and sells the food profits to the extent of $1 billion. They give up maybe $10 million in fines, and they make $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, in our closing moments here, and I appreciate you coming on. I know that it's the last couple of weeks has been a little bit uncomfortable for you speaking. You've got a little
three
bit.
3 weeks now.
3 weeks, is it?
Yeah. You know, I've never been in a hospital one day of my life, maybe on the birthday when I was originally born, but I've never, ever been in a hospital.
Yeah.
And yet for 15 or 17 days, I've had a cough and a cold, a congestion that I can't shake.
Well, we're gonna make sure that we get you some oregano to take care of that. You'll be amazed at what happens. I'm gonna facilitate that. Hook you up with the right people. All you have to do is say great and it'll happen.
Terrific.
Terrific? Okay, that's as good as great. There's no point in suffering. And as sure as I know that is possible, Carl, I know that your ideas will work, and they're on the threshold of some major developments. too.
Terrific.
And that was conveyed to me by a couple of people, one who you know, and who you should get in touch with, actually.
I have been.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yep.
So the listening audience knows that we're not just making this stuff up. This is really happening, isn't it? Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, we're not making this up. It's really happening. is the point
Absolutely.
I'm making.
Absolutely. We're working on it, and things are going to happen, and I want it really to be, in other words, I want one town or village in the United States to create prosperity, because it's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just so obvious. I don't know why people aren't running to do it, but okay, so let's do it with one.
Yeah.
And then others will do it, and we can circumvent the need to have a bailout program. You don't need it. You only need a community to act in its own self-interest after it's been enlightened on what to do.
Yeah.
And you don't need the bailout. You just need to have the community effort.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we need we would definitely benefit from having an honest government that is actually telling us what they're doing and what they intend to do. I'm so tired of hearing, oh, we're not going to raise taxes. This is a tax credit. We're going to give you a tax refund, and then turn around and raise the taxes.
Yeah.
And say, we have to raise the taxes because everything was mismanaged.
Yeah.
Well, if it's mismanaged in the beginning, why do we keep giving them the money?
It's like the cars. Here's a car for $30,000, and we'll give you a $10,000 rebate. I mean, why not just set the car at the right price?
Yeah. Well, I want to encourage folks to go to your website, myclads.com. That's myclads.com. Also, lawmall.com. Just think of the law and the mall where you like to hang out. Lawmall.com. Can you imagine that's like a mall where there's judges and attorneys walking around pushing babies?
That's my oldest website.
It's your oldest one.
That was my oldest website, and I was the first. I was the second lawyer in the country to have a website.
Oh wow! Well, I'm honored to have you on the show.
Well, I'm honored to be here. I enjoy it.
Yeah,
we're gonna accomplish a lot. The audience, you, me, hopeless, and other hopelesses.
Yes. Well, more people are listening every night, Carl, and a lot of people have expressed an interest in what you're doing. So, and I bring you up in conversations every opportunity, and people are taking notice. I can assure you.
Terrific.
So, I appreciate you being on the show. We're coming to the end of the month here in another day, and I want to get you on again this next month. I'm going to make sure that you get some oregano, and you're going to, I'll put you in touch with someone who can get that for you. And
terrific.
And let's shake this thing once and for all.
Absolutely.
Okay. Carl Pearson, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to our next interview.
Fine, Don.
And in the meantime, we'll say goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on PBSRadio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making this show and many others possible on PBSRadio.com, and also Seth Hendrick for the sound. And most of all, the listening audience, you are wished a night filled with peace, love, and light, and please have a good night.